Blog Talk Radio.
Ho, 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 and Merry Christmas. This is Richard Rossi at Richard Rossi Live, and I would like to take this show to give a sermon on the true meaning of Christmas. We've heard lots of sayings about the true meaning. Jesus is the reason for this season, and the Christ is the first part of Christmas, the first six letters of Christmas is Christ, and all those sort of things. But beyond those cliches, I want to truly look at scripturally who Jesus is, why he came, and what the real meaning is. I have a lot of friends from a diverse group of backgrounds and belief systems, and I'm very, very grateful for that, because sometimes people get self-righteous and get all upset if someone says Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas, and all they're trying to steal Christmas and take away Christmas and all those sort of things. And we have stories about the Grinch and Scrooge and people that are anti-Christmas. But really, a lot of people out there that maybe say or act like that have not encountered the true meaning of Christmas. In the Christmas Carol story, Scrooge, when he encounters the true meaning of Christmas, he changes, he converts, he goes from a miser to a generous man. When the angel announced Jesus' birth, he said it was good news for all people. So it's not just a message for a church or a religion or a denomination. It's a message that can touch and heal and change all of us, no matter what our background. And the new film we're finishing up and releasing very shortly, Canaan Land, it's a Christmas story. The character I play, Brother Billy, has a conversion like Scrooge, and changes and truly repents, truly gets saved, truly gives back money to people he stole it from. And so let's take a look at the words of the angel that showed up in Luke chapter 2. He said, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now in the Bible, when you see the word all, what does it mean? Well, all means all, and that's all that all means. "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people." Sometimes religious people, self-righteous religious people, they don't have a message that is good news for all people, for everyone. They turn the good news into the bad news. They judge people who don't believe and behave the way they think they should. As I said, they scold people who don't say Merry Christmas, that say Happy Holidays, trying to include other people with Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and other things. Or they're like the church lady character that Dana Carvey played a few years back on Saturday Night Live, that dances a superior dance and thinks that the good news is only for them and their church. But as we read this story, we see this message, this coming to earth of Jesus Christ, God made flesh. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." It's good news for all. We see the lowly shepherds encounter the angel. We see the wealthy, wise kings of the East encountering the star of Bethlehem, and the angels singing the heavenly choir to the shepherds. So it's the whole gamut, because Jesus had a mission to show love to everyone. In John chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus said, "When I am lifted up, all are drawn to me." Now, we've had a tough year of societal crisis in 2020. There's a lot of gloom and doom we hear daily on the news about how terrible it is. But I want to challenge you to quit saying how terrible 2020 is, because we learn from the birth of Jesus Christ that a bad year can be a good year. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good." Now, let's take this young couple, Joseph and Mary. They're going through all these hassles when we look at the story of the birth. The government had a census, a decree that forced Joseph and Mary to travel south 65 miles for several days over rocky hills on a donkey, even though Mary, bless her heart, was 9 months pregnant. What a woman she was. When the angel appeared to humble Mary and said she would be the mother of Jesus, she said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." She wanted to do whatever God's will and purpose was. And she was like this when she was older, too, at Jesus' very first miracle in Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2. When they ran out of wine, Mother Mary said to the servants at the wedding feast, whatever Jesus says unto you, do it. That's John chapter 2, verse 5. And what a motif for the truly Christian life, whatever Jesus says unto you, do it. The early church fathers referred to Mary as the Ark of the Covenant. What does this mean? Well, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant contained the tangible presence and glory of God. Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford made films, Raiders of the Lost Ark, that riffed on this idea in a fictional story about whoever had that Ark was blessed and won their battles. Now, God is omnipresent. God is present everywhere, but he was present in a special way in the Old Testament stories in that Ark of the Covenant. So Mary being referred to by the early church fathers as the New Testament Ark of the Covenant was because she carried within her womb God, the Son of God. That it was God, very God in that baby. In fact, the angels sang when Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2, they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now that is the heart of Jesus, is peace and goodwill toward men. And I pray for our children that they would live to see more peace on earth and goodwill toward men, especially after this polarizing political year. But when you look at the actual phraseology and where the pauses come in that statement in the original Greek, it would read like this, glory to God in the highest and on earth. In other words, God was in the highest, God transcends in heaven, but yet God was not only in the highest, God was on earth in a tangible way, incarnate in the womb of Mary, whom God had chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And Jesus loved his mother so much that when he died on that cross, he turned to John, who was referred to as the apostle Jesus loved. He was very close to Jesus. And he said, John, look at Mary. Behold thy mother. And then he said to Mary, behold thy son. He wanted to make sure his mother was cared for. So there's this deep, deep relationship in Mary answering the call of God and even being willing to endure the societal hassle of the government census. Now we have governments hassling today. Look at Washington. Look at how people have judged and demonized each other over politics and over things going on. And now there's been hassle with the COVID vaccine. The delivery was botched. A general apologized the other day for the mistake. And you know, they were no different. They were dealing with hassles back then. Because they were the lineage of David, they had to make this journey. And you ladies know that you would not want to ride on a donkey when you're pregnant and have all that extra weight. Some of you have seen a woman 9 months pregnant, that belly sticking out there, and here she is on this donkey going up and down these hills. But it was because of the government decree. Then they get to Bethlehem, and you know the story. There's no room at the inn. Have you ever traveled and been tired and the hotel loses your reservation? I remember that kind of a hassle when I was traveling on tour and frustrated and tired. The innkeeper says, there's no room at the inn, but we can let you stay in the stable out back. Now, depending on who tells the story, the innkeeper is either vilified for not making room or given partial credit for offering what he had to the Lord. But it was not a smooth transition. It wasn't easy. And they could have focused on the hassle, the societal crisis, the negative. But God was at work. You see, it was prophesied by Micah 500 years earlier that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. You know the Christmas song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The prophecy in Micah says, thou, O Bethlehem, art a small town in Judea, yet out of you shall be born the everlasting light. Why was it a rocky journey? Why was the hassles a part of the story? There's a famous filmmaker, Sergei Eisenstein. We studied him in film school. And he had a famous quote that said, smooth transitions are lost opportunities. If everything is smooth, there's no hassles, we may miss the opportunity. You know, this has been a rough year, but it's also been a year of angelic visitation for me. This has been a rough journey for Mary and Joseph, but the angels were singing. The angels were letting the world know that through all these hassles, the child would be born. Now, when Eisenstein said smooth transitions are lost opportunities, he was talking about film editing. My friend Richard Krause and I are finishing this week my movie Canaanland to release it soon. And Eisenstein believed that if everything in the movie is cut together so perfectly, so neatly, it's not quite as impacting. So think about that. Smooth transitions are lost opportunities. Maybe the fact that everything wasn't so perfect in 2020 was part of our journey, part of the lessons we learned. That even in the hassles, God's plan is being birthed and good is coming out of it all, as Romans 8:28 promised us. Sure, we could imagine a smoother journey for the Christmas story. We could imagine Joseph and Mary staying at home instead of having to make this difficult journey to Bethlehem. We could imagine Jesus born in a comfortable environment of wealth. But then that prophecy would not be fulfilled when Micah said, O little town of Bethlehem, out of you shall be born the everlasting light. And do you realize the hassle of that government census got them there to fulfill that plan? If Hollywood was in charge, their publicists and studios would have had the biggest red carpet and searchlights crisscrossing the sky. Everything would have been executed perfectly, smoothly. Social media would be lit up with posts, and we wouldn't have the hassle and the humility of the manger. Rocky transitions of the universe can become God's university. I know I've learned a lot of grace through difficulties. Even through traumas I've been through has enabled me to have more empathy and compassion and understanding and forgiveness and grace for other people. We made this movie this year, Canaanland, on a shoestring, and it's been an incredible journey. We're currently in entry in the Academy Award competition, and hopefully we'll be able to stay in that competition. We need some funding and some things to help us fulfill some of the screening and requirements. If you want to support our ministry, you can make tax-deductible donations to Eternal Grace. If you're spiritually fed by this ministry, you can go to eternalgracechurch.com and donate on the website, or at PayPal, just send a donation to the email eternalgracechurch@yahoo.com. Our cast and crew in this film have been on an adventure. It's like Jason and the Argonauts traveling to find the Golden Fleece. I've grown spiritually, psychologically. I've learned more about filmmaking and editing and writing. I've had to overcome some of my reticence to ask people for assistance and not be so self-conscious and shy about that. And I've learned how to handle criticisms about myself and my work. And as I'm birthing this film this year, I pray it'll be a blessing to the people who see it. And the fact it wasn't a smooth transition has been a part of the journey. Now, you all have been through some things that haven't been smooth. Unfortunately, some of us lost family and friends to COVID this year. Maybe you've been out of work. Maybe some of you can't buy as many gifts as you'd like, or maybe you bought a lot of gifts and feel guilty about spending so much. But since smooth transitions are lost opportunities, maybe you've learned something about yourself through these things. Maybe God's plan is being fulfilled. And my hope and prayer for each and every one of you is that you have a Merry Christmas. In the words of the angel, glad tidings of great joy to all people, to all of you, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I wrote a poem about how good is coming out of this difficult year of COVID, and I've shared it before, but I think it bears sharing again. I'll share it with you. It's called A New Earth. A new earth came about after COVID for the truly spiritual who know God. Some stayed at home reading Bibles and books that nurtured their souls. And as they were renewed, they made the earth new. They exercised and rested and nested. They no longer wrestle, they nestle in God's peaceful, everlasting arms. Being still and knowing that He is God working all things together for their good, they spent more time with their family and their friends. So a new earth begins. They had time with the ones they love, not working furiously in the push and the shove. They laughed and loved, made art from above, meals, movies, books, and stories of great glories. They learned new ways of seeing, new ways of being. And God taught them new things as they were sequestered, and the earth was made new. Old things passed away, and all things were made new as they meditated and contemplated. Now some were fooled by dark, demonic shadows of religious fear, false conspiracy theories that made people weary. But those who truly knew the shepherd's voice rejected that dark choice, that choice of fear that made them distrust doctors, distrust God, and even distrust themselves. But those who heard the good shepherd's voice, they realized churches aren't really closed. They can't be, you see, for the church is really you and me, wherever there are two or three. If they thought differently, they were healed. They were revealed. They were ready to help birth a new earth. And in the new year, the earth begins to heal and reveal the revelation of Jesus and his salvation. We grieve those who passed and heal the earth at last by turning from our fear to perfect love, the love of the babe of Bethlehem, who is always there and cast out all fear and made the new earth finally appear. God bless each and every one of you, and may you have a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I wrote a song. I'll leave you with some of the words. Happy birthday, Jesus. We seem to have forgotten you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Be born in our hearts and make us new. Jesus, we don't want to be like that inn that said there's no room at the inn for you. We want you to come into our hearts. We make room in our hearts for you. Come into our hearts today, Jesus. Come into our hearts to stay. We receive your gift, the most wonderful Christmas gift, because you said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ in Romans 6:23. We receive your gift of salvation by grace through faith, knowing it's not of ourselves nor of works, lest any of us should boast. It's a free gift. We don't work for a gift. It's just given out of love. Thank you, Lord. In John 3:16, you told us God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen, and Merry Christmas, everybody. And thank you for tuning in to Richard Rossi Live. Bless you. Thank you.